Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Second Kings chapter 6, come on. Look at this. It's offering time. 2 Kings chapter 6. Lord have mercy. I love my church. We have fun, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And we can just be ourselves. And that's what I love. I don't like that starchy stuff. And you got to, you know, respect all of this liturgical ways of doing things. Let's just be real and be a family. Amen. We still have order. Thank God for all the saints who came to the third row. We have order. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, here's what I want you to see today. In the area of provision, in the area of increase, financial increase, in the area of your money. Now listen, my brothers and sisters, you're going to have to disconnect your provision from a channel. No, a channel is what God opens for provision. A channel is not the source of your provision. Did y'all get that? God is the source of your provision. Everyone say, God is the source of my provision. Now, you got to hear me. Last month, I shared, when we were in a faith summit, I shared with everyone how one of the main companies in Buffalo laid off 1,500 employees. This was one of the place, man. You want to get, if you got hired at this place, you want to stay there, put in your 20, 25, 30 years, and you got a nice pension. But they went to work one day and the doors are locked. Surprise them. And that was just last month. And then this week, this past week, another company here in Buffalo laid off 800 people. Now that one happened last month, but right before Thanksgiving. This one happened in the month before Christmas. That's 2,300 people, 2,300 families that have been affected. You cannot attach your provision. Y'all better hear me. Cause God has been given his people time to disconnect from wrong soul ties. And you can have a soul tie where you connect to that job and then something happens to it and now you're devastated. Now you're in depression and discouraged because you never thought. Well, God never told you to put your trust in that. He told us in his word in Psalms 118, don't put your confidence in men. Don't put your confidence in princes or people of authority. Don't put your confidence there. And the thing that God tells us not to put our confidence in, many Christians put their confidence in. And when something happens, just because it happens in the world, God doesn't want it to affect you, it affects the world. But if your confidence is in the wrong place, you're going to be thrown for a loop, discouraged, in despair, depressed, and now you're going through mental anguish, and God never wanted that to happen to you. You have to understand that God is the source of my provision. My job is just a channel. Now, I'm getting ready to read something to you because what you have to understand is the natural mind doesn't have a solution for the dilemmas that you face. Come on, put that down in your notes. the natural mind, your natural mind, that's your reasoning, your logic, your natural understanding, what you think you know, your natural mind doesn't have a solution for the dilemmas that you face. That's why sometimes you've gotten upset. You thought that plan A was going to work, and then that blew up, so you went to plan B, plan C, plan D, and then you start giving up because it seemed like nothing is working out. You got to understand, the natural mind doesn't have a solution for the dilemmas that you face in life. Everyone say, the natural mind doesn't have a solution for the dilemmas that I face in life. I was on a prayer call last night with some pastors. These pastors are out of state, and I pray with them on Saturday evening. And I share with them, God just released something that came up. And I share with them how God was teaching me, and I wanted to share with them. And they were so glad I shared it. And I'll share with you right now, what I shared was this. Stop trusting in your calculations and start trusting in the revelation. Stop trusting in your calculation and start trusting in the revelation. Because your calculation is based on your logic, your understanding, your natural processing. And I understand when you're calculating, you're trying to ascertain and trying to, you know, help navigate yourself through what you're facing. But you got to remember this, the natural mind doesn't have a solution for the dilemma that you're facing. That's why people go into panic mode. They go into frantic mode. They go into discouragement mode, depression mode, because their natural mind don't have a solution. You can't solve level two problems with level one solutions. Did y'all understand that? To solve level two problems, you got to have level two solutions. So a lot of times, we're trying to use our natural minds to get us out of a jam when it was a natural mind that got you in the jam. Okay, that'll hit you by the time you go home this evening. All right, look at 2 Kings 6. Let's start at verse 24. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 Kings 6, verse 24. And I'm reading from the King James Bible. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Everyone say, the enemy was on attack and surrounded the people of God. Now, here's the thing about it. Now, listen. You have to get to this place where you stop living so much in the natural and understand that you are a spiritual being. You are not a natural being having spiritual experiences. You are a spirit being causing natural experiences. Come on. But if you're not careful, you'll become so consumed by the natural side of life to where you will miss what's going on in the spiritual behind the natural. God taught me many years ago, and it took a lot of years for me to become developing this because we're not raised like this. And he would tell me, Mark, stop focusing on the natural side. Well, that's all you can see, God. I'm telling you, that's all I can see. He said, Mark, stop focusing on the natural. I said, don't you see what's happening? He said, you got to turn your attention to the spiritual. So for me, and I know you all are not as slow as I was, for me, it took years for him to deliver me from living that way. Because I'm giving in to what I'm seeing in the natural. I'm giving in to natural feelings. I'm giving in to natural thoughts. I'm giving into natural situations and natural conditions and natural circumstances. And God didn't change his mind. He's dealing with me. He says, I want to teach you how to overcome whatever happens in the natural and how to take authority over it. But first, I have to teach you how to live disconnected from the natural, to where you stop living in fear of what happens to you naturally. You listening? So this king besieged Syria. Look at verse 25. You with me? And there was a great famine in Samaria. Now, why was there a great famine? Not because of anything in the natural. It was because of an attack. Now, let me ask this little quick question. Do you really know when you're under spiritual attack? A lot of Christians don't know that. Do you really know when your finances are under spiritual attack? Do you really know when your family is under spiritual attack? Or you think that everything that happens is because folks just not acting right. They're not talking right. Do you really know when the place where you work is under spiritual attack? Do you really know when you're under spiritual attack? Now, I'm going to give you just one thing so you can recognize it. How do you feel when your body's going through symptoms? Let's say you got a fever, cold symptoms, and you're not feeling well. What's one of the indicators that you know your body is being attacked by a cold, for example, or flu-like symptoms? What's one thing you'll know? Come on, help me. All right, somebody said that you can recognize the symptoms: sneeze, cough, sore throat. Okay. What's something else, anybody? I can't hear you. Yes, you have a fever. Okay, the fever is your body letting you know that something's wrong. Okay, say that again. A mental lapse. A mental lapse. And I heard somebody else say fatigue. Here's something else that happened. And this is how you can know when you're under spiritual attack. Your desire to eat leaves. You don't want to eat. And I always know when I'm under spiritual attack because, watch this, the feeling of calm, you ain't got to get in the word. I say, what? You don't have to hear the word today. You don't have to declare the word. You don't have to pray. Just go ahead and do what you got to do today. I know I'm under spiritual attack. Right now, wait a minute. Nothing bad has happened. Nothing negative has happened yet. But I'm sensing now the symptoms of the spiritual attack. And one of the symptoms is you don't feel like eating. You don't feel like eating spiritual food. Just like when you're sick naturally, you don't feel like eating natural food. A second symptom of spiritual attack is you become restless. Your peace is gone. You don't have peace about where you are. You don't even have peace about yourself. You might even go look at yourself in the mirror and say, ugh. You're just having one of those days. Anybody ever have one of those ugh days? Ugh. It happens. And then you look at somebody who you may live with in the house. Ugh. I don't do Cheryl like that. No, it's just that, in other words, what I'm trying to tell you is, you ever get to that place where you start saying, I ain't feeling this today. Huh? You got to know when you're under spiritual attack. The third thing is, and then we'll move on. Here's the third thing. You'll give in to talking wrong, even though you know better. You're under spiritual attack. A lot of Christians don't know when they're under spiritual attack. So they attacked the city. There was a great famine. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now, they were under attack, and it affected their economy. Now, you got to understand, when financial attacks come to you, it's even hard, watch this, to fill up your tank with gas, your car. And so If you're not careful, you'll settle for putting in $10 and not say a word. You won't take authority over your money. You won't take authority over the gas. You will accept that condition. You're under spiritual attack because now the adversary has convinced you to accept you being besieged financially. Come on, somebody. We don't live in denial. We live in defiance. You'll go to the grocery store and you'll talk to yourself in the grocery store. Watch this. You'll say, I can't afford that. Why, what are you talking like that for? Because I know what I got in my pocket. I know what I got in my wallet. I know what I got in my purse. We can't get that. We can't. I can't afford. Wait a minute. You go to Faith Word. You know you're not supposed to talk like that. Well, Pastor Mark just got to realize I got to tell the truth. You're not telling the truth. The truth is what God says. It may be true that your money is low, but that is not the truth. You're under financial attack, a spiritual attack. Okay, look at this. Look at verse 26. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help, my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? So he felt helpless. So I had you, excuse me, I had you to write, the natural mind doesn't have a solution, come on, for the dilemma that I face in life. Now, go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, real quick. You're going to have to trust the revelation. Everyone say revelation. Now, what is a revelation? What is a revelation? It is understanding of a spiritual truth at my level of comprehension. Everyone say revelation. It is understanding or insight of a spiritual truth at my level of comprehension. God doesn't look for Mario to catch a revelation at my level. And he doesn't look for me to catch a revelation at Mario's level. God knows that me and Mario's personality, how we process information, is different. So a revelation is understanding or insight of a spiritual truth at my level of comprehension. That's why I teach like I do. And I go over something. And a lot of my message, I repeat a lot of things because that's how you learn, through repetition. But then I repeat it and I teach like I do because I understand that I got different people listening and you have to catch a revelation at your level of comprehension. So I'm giving the Holy Spirit something to work with that will explode forth into your heart. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 130, the entrance of his word giveth light and it gives understanding to the simple. You with me? So you had John 6. Look at this, John 6. Watch this now. So we see the dilemma that the king had in 2 Kings 6. Verse number 2 now, John 6, verse 2, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him, He saith unto Philip, whence or where shall we buy bread that these may eat? They got a dilemma. Now, calculations is not going to help you because Jesus is asking where. Now, listen, Jesus didn't ask because he didn't know. He asked to see what did Philip learn from Jesus's teaching and from seeing Jesus's example. He wanted to know where Philip was. He wanted Philip to hear himself. Because look at the next verse. The next verse says, and this he said to prove who?
Him.
God was proving Philip. That's the thing that happens in your situation. God be proving you to see how you're going to respond, how you're going to act. What are you going to say? Are you going to give in a calculation or are you going to yield a revelation? Are you going to speak what your understanding says? Are you going to talk what your reasoning is saying? He wants to see this because he wants to prove you. And a lot of times, I got to be honest with you, my brothers and sisters. We, that includes me, have a tendency to where we fail the test. We fail the test. Because the reason why he proves us, mother, is because he wants to promote us. But when you don't respond correctly, you demonstrate you're not ready for what promotion requires. Now, that's not an indictment. It's simply saying we have to become more prepared. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
That's not that's not nothing to condemn us over. We have to understand that what happens is we become, watch this, connected to the wrong soul tie. So watch what Peter said. Watch what Philip says. Look at verse 6. And this Jesus said to prove him, for he himself, read, knew what he would do. Why? He was locked into revelation. Are you locked into revelation like that when it comes to your finances? Are you locked into revelation? If they came to you tomorrow and told you that we're going to have massive layoff on the job, are you going to get in fear? Now, it's really easy to sit in this atmosphere and say, oh, no, Pastor Mark, I'm ready. Uh-huh. Until it happens. And then y'all do know that your car payments talk to you. Car insurance payments talk to you. Your lease, your rent payments of the house talk to you. Everything starts talking because everything has a voice.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to be locked in. That's why I keep using this phrase, soul tie. Where do you lock your, everybody know what our soul is. Our soul is our mind, will, emotions, memory, and imagination. Where do have I locked my mind and my will and my emotions? That's what you got to understand. So, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And look at verse 7, and we'll stop here, and then we'll receive. Philip answered him. Everybody look here. Before God speaks to your situation and your challenge, he waits to see how you answer him. Are you giving him a carnal response? A calculated response? A logical response? Or a faith revelatory response? Look what Philip did. Philip answered him. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, somebody real quick, pull up the NIV. Real quick. I want you to read here verse 7 from the NIV. Real quick. He talked about that they don't have enough. Okay, read it out loud for me. Now this is verse 7 from the NIV. Come on. Wait. Start it over. Philip answered him. Now watch Philip's answer. Watch this, Chris. Watch. This will blow you out the water, Rashawn. Watch this. Philip answered Jesus. Come on. Philip said that Jesus, it will take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one of these people to have enough. Now, who told him to start calculating how long it got to take you to work for this? Can you see where his soul tie was? It was to the job that he could do. Philip, what if the job don't work? Philip, what if the job don't produce enough? Or you, in order to feed all these people, you got to go to work for at least a half a year. How long is half a year? 6 months. Jesus saying, we don't have to wait 6 months for this. I got a revelation that's tailor-made for this dilemma. Y'all not listening to me. Y'all not listening to me. Y'all not listening to me. You got to hear me. So how often do you look at your situation and say, oh, this is going to take me 3 months to get out of this? Oh, Jesus. How long you be looking at that thing and say, oh, man, it's going to take me 12 months to get out of this? Philip said, it's going to take 6 months of working and get paid for 6 months' salary. Now we can handle feeding all these people. Jesus didn't ask him to start calculating. Jesus had a revelation. Okay, last scripture, Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. Everyone say, Philip faced a dilemma that Jesus wanted him to respond to by a revelation. But instead, he went to calculation. So what did you write down? The natural mind doesn't have a solution for the dilemmas that we face in life. And as long as you continue believing that you can handle it, you're saying, I don't need you, Jesus. Okay, my last one. Praise the Lord. Why am I spending so much time on this particular finance teaching? Because of what you're about to face. I am not predicting doom and gloom. That's not what I said. When I say what you're going to face, you're going to see the rumors of things happening around you. That's why I mentioned those two job layoffs. And you can't allow yourself to give in to fear. You have to use that as your sign. I got to build up my faith in the revelation. And make sure, and you ask yourself, do I have a soul tie to my job? To what I receive? Okay, there's one verse. Isaiah 48, you there? Look at verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Who is he? Wait, come on. Let's do this again. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Who is he? All right, say it like y'all believe it. Who is he? Everyone say, he's my Redeemer. Okay. That means he has to be involved in my solution. Okay? He's my Redeemer. Make him your Redeemer by trusting him to be involved in your solution. Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God. Everyone say, he is my God.
He is my God.
Now watch what he does. Which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. So you're going to have to trust the revelation that the Holy Spirit is teaching you and trust that he will always lead you. So you know what that means, Chris? What we have to do? Stop saying this out of your mouth. I don't know what to do. He just said, he leaded me by the way that I should go. Discipline yourself to say, Lord, I trust you to lead me on what my next move is. Lord, I trust you to lead me on what I'm supposed to do next. Lord, I believe the word that Pastor Mark said that you spoke over us, that we're supposed to finish this year strong. So I'm trusting you. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you to lead me to finish this year strong. You see what I'm saying? Renew your mind. Change how you're talking. Change how you process things and process information and trust the revelation more than you do your calculation. Can y'all receive this today?
Amen.
Come on, give God some praise for that. All right. Stand on your feet, stand on your feet, stand on your feet. Father God, we thank you for this another opportunity to give into your kingdom by way of this ministry, Faithword Fellowship International and Faithword Fellowship Canada. Thank you that good seed sown in the good ground always produces a good harvest. We give you praise and thanksgiving for all that will be said and done. We glorify you as you're speaking over our finances right now, as you're leading us to financial victory right now, as you're strengthening us to overcome financial dilemmas right now. We give you praise and thanksgiving that you are the source of our solution. And you're giving us solutions for whatever we're facing in the mighty name of Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. So we're going to think different, perceive different, process information differently, and the thoughts and images we embrace will be different.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faithword Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faithword Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faithword Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faithword Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.